We are holding Memtes on the base. Just a few lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Nachman. Chela v'asik ekoi v'enis esim. So again, yesterday we just had that long conversation by the honey that was left out overnight, uncovered, I should say, or the really got into the conversation earlier because of the shaila, whether or not the fat of the non-kosher fat is seisim a nekev or not. So Rav wants to be mekel because he wants to pass the kula because he wants to use the Torah Chasam HaMishisrael to rule like the lenient side of both of these scenarios. And the Mara's question is that to use the Torah Chasam HaMishisrael to make something that's us or mutter or a sakana, not a sakana, is a chiddush. If you already hold that it's not a sakana, you hold that it's mutter, that's one thing. But to use that to be a deciding factor in the psak, we had a maram that argued and questioned Rav. Okay. So now, the Mara's up to Rav Nachman, Amar Nachman. Chedu Gemara. Chela for us is really returning back to the old Gemara. Chela for us is koiva enesesim. If you have chela fat that is shaped like koiva, is like a hat or helmet, it's not sesim. Now, where is this found? Hecha. Ami lachiti de karish kasha. Some say it's referring to the chitim. It doesn't actually mean wheat. It means the wheat shaped fat. The karkasha is by the end of the intestines, or better known as the rectum. So by that area over there. Others say, if I'm the top of liba, others say, no, it's a certain type of fat. Wheat, like, it's also like a helmet-shaped fat that's on the heart. The point is, the chiddush over here is that these are both fats. Remember, we said yesterday in Machlekes, whether the fat has to be kosher or not. Non-kosher fat, we said, has a film, which may make it just drape over the hole and not adhere to it properly, and therefore we said non-kosher fat would perhaps not be a seal. But either way, the Morbius Tachar is talking about a kosher fat. And we're still saying it's not a seal because it doesn't adhere. It doesn't stick so strongly, and therefore it's not a seal. Amrava. Shama mine dor Nachmatati. We learn from Nachman two things. This is a new, again, further conversation about fat, but a new context. Chimtza bar chimtza chasas mechadleisas. We learn from Nachman two things. Chimtza and bar chimtza. These are two types of fats. We'll see them more on Nunam Aleph, exactly where they're located. But chimtza and bar chimtza, one is sasam, and one is not sasam. One serves as a seal for a hole, a puncture, and one does not seal as a hole for a puncture. The puncture is going to be in the cava. We'll see. And I'm not sure which one is the one that's a seal and which one's one that's not a good seal. I said that bar chimtza sasam, chimtza leisasam. The bar chimtza is a seal. The chimtza is not a seal. Amar avtavus b'samanach. You know what a good way to remember it is? A good memory tactic? Yafa keichabe v'keichab. That's a sprach that Gemara borrows from Shavuos. This is a scenario where the father, when he wants to collect on his loan, he may have to make a shavua. The son who inherits the father when the father's not around may not have to make that same shavua because of the expectation level of his knowledge, his information he's supposed to have from this deal, he wasn't around by the transaction, is less, he wouldn't be obligated to swear. So you have a case where the son who's coming with the father can actually collect with a better kayach than the father himself. We find such a scenario. Okay, the point just is that shprach, yafa kayacha ben, the kayacha av, we're saying over here we're calling one fat called chimtza, and one fat's called bar chimtza. So we're saying the bar chimtza, the kayach of the bar, the son of chimtza, so to speak, is greater than the av. Okay, now where is this? Hi chimtza, hi bar chimtza. Where's chimtza? Where's bar chimtza? Tashmadam, Rav Nachman, inu mechel achli, so we're on the top now of nun amad aleph, top line of the page. Amar. So Rav Nachman says, Inu Mechalach, Rav Nachman said that the people of Eretz Yisrael, they eat it. They not only do they hold its mutter, like meaning it's kosher, they eat it. They mamash eat it 100%. Ulididan, and to us, Mistam Nami Loi Sasam. Yet for us in Bavel, it doesn't even work to seal a puncture. Meaning we spoke out that kosher fat is good to seal a puncture because it's more sticky and it mushes into the hole. Whereas non-kosher fat is like a film and it doesn't really cover the puncture or not. We have a machlekes Rav Sheshi says it does. Rav said it doesn't. Fine. But now we're saying, Rav Nachman saying that this fat, this we still didn't say where it is, but this chimtza fat or the bar chimtza fat, in Eretz Yisrael they eat it. It's so kosher that they mamish eat it. In Bavel, we're saying they don't, not only don't they eat it, they don't even hold it's kosher enough to be kosher for the status of sealing the hole. We're Nunam Alf on top, literally the top line. Now the Merck elaborates. So the way to understand this is going to be, like most cases often, with the best of the picture. This almost looks like an L shape, but they can compare more to like the bow and the arrow. So this is the bow. So this is, they have the fat on what we'll call the bottom of the bow, and the fat on the top, on the inside. So the machlekes is on the bottom, or at least in the first lesson, I was going to say, the fat on the bottom, which is called the akashta, Everyone agrees over there that that's considered not kosher. Where's the machlekes bavel and Yisrael? On the ayasra, the fat, little fat on the inside of this bowl. Let's see the Gemara inside. So the Gemara, the akashtuka mutligi daser, with the akashtu fat, everyone agrees that that fat is going to be, is aser. Right? That fat is chilev, that's for sure aser. What's the shayla? The shayla is ki pliki, but the ayisra. The machlekes is on the fat of the ayisra, the inside fat over there, inside the bowl. The shayla over there is, in that fat, the bnei bavel held that it's not even kosher enough to use as a sealant, and then you won't say it's Tali Zabazan. You're not telling this bowl. Okay. The Bnei Yisrael held that it's mamish kosher to eat. Again, this bow, just to be clear, I think we spoke about before, but again, reiterate, this is the bow represents the keva. That's the stomach, the keva. Mm-hmm. So we're saying the fat on the bottom part of it, we'll call it closer to the ground, is the akashta, which is everyone agrees, of course, this first lashon is no good. And the fat on the inside of it, on the upper part, that's the fat that it shows that it's good. I was saying now, Bnei Bavel says no good, but that is the bar chimtza that we're talking about.
No, the fat that's not kosher has a membrane and whatever, and it doesn't seal. The fat without a membrane does seal. But just because something doesn't seal doesn't mean it's not kosher. Doesn't mean that it has a membrane and it's like that. It could be a different
correct. Type. We just referenced quickly two lines. Rav Nachman said, the chilev was made like a hat helmet.
Right.
And we said two places, either rectum or by the heart.
Right.
It doesn't, even though it's kosher fat, it doesn't seal. Yeah.
So it's
not a steer. Okay.
Right.
Another version of the machlekes, which Rashi right away does not like. Ultimately, Gemara clearly seems to go back to the first version. But Yigadami, some say, yes, sir, on the contrary. The upper fat, everyone agrees, is kosher. That's for sure kosher, and mutatit, and presumably huadin, it would be good sealant. Ki pliki da kashta, the mechalikas was only by the kashta, the fat on the lower part beneath the bow. Okay, Rashi has different issues with that mahalach, meaning the Gemara obviously brings it. Rashi brings different issues why ultimately the Gemara doesn't go with it. Rashi has a couple of questions, we'll leave it off for now. The Gemara jumps back now to the first side. Ki hadar amrav ivya amrav ami mekamtsin, like Rav Ivya said in the name of Ami, mekamtsin, that even Eretz Yisrael, there'd be mekamtsin. Mekamtsin means you'd skim a little off the surface of the fat and eat the rest. Mekamtsin, skim a little fat off the top and eat the rest. Again, this is all talking about the fat on top. Why are you skimming a little off? Because it's very close proximity to the hakerev, the chelev hakerev, that everyone agrees is the fats of the innards, is chelev, which is aser tzitzit. So because it's right adjacent to it, that first layer, you don't need either, because that first layer is too close for comfort. You skim that off, and beneath that, you eat. But again, you see, we're talking about the fat above the bow. We'll call it the bow, but they refer to it as like the bow string. Okay.
So is it
gezeira
not to eat that? Or?
Yes. Yeah, just because gezeira would be a good word, but it could be even more than a gezeira. It's almost, maybe it's very difficult to be mitzamtzim exactly where the chelev of the kerev ends and this begins. So maybe it's more than a gezeira, but yeah, essentially, that's the idea. Amar Rav Ivya, Have kamina kamei Rav Ami. I was sitting in front of Rav Ami. Come to Vavalev Achal. They skimmed a little off the edge of the fat and of this on top of the keva. We call it like the bowstring fat, that yisra. And they served him and he ate it. Shamei Rav Chanina. Have kamei Rav Chanina. The shamish Rav Chanina was sitting in front of Rav Chanina or standing in front of Chanina. Amar like kmeitzli have dechal. Rav Chanina said, skim off the top of the bowstring fat so I can eat the rest of it. The shamish was not happy about this. He didn't like the idea of being of eating the rest of this chaylev over there. Amle Bavloyat, he says, you're from Bavel. Remember, we said that's the Bavel. Babylonians didn't want to eat the barchim, so only there to show it. So Rav Chanina said to his shamish, you're from Bavel, gum shdi. So throw it, taka, throw it away. If you're from Bavel, throw it away. Which is a very interesting concept. Why? Rav Chanina obviously held, like Eretz Yisrael, he held his mutter. His shamish held his usher, and therefore he told him to throw it away. So the Mefarshim, they give different explanations. One simple explanation is, and this would be a major afkina of Lamaisa, that if I hold something's usher, even if you hold his mutter, I can't feed it to you. Which is not always so pasha. We don't always say that necessarily. If you hold his mutter, right? But we're saying over here, if I hold his usher and you hold his mutter, I can't feed it to you. So I guess Rav Chanina wasn't going to deal with it himself. That's the next step. He wasn't going to deal with it himself. So the shamish dealing with it, and said, if you hold the saucer, you can't feed it to me, so throw it out. That'll be one mahalach. Or others want to say that it wasn't so much a matter of the shamish not being able to serve it, even if Rav Chanina, like the way I was saying, was the lemish take it himself. Others want to say, even if you would take it himself, it would be problematic. For him to eat something in the presence of someone else who holds his mamish usser is problematic. I'm not sure what the problem is. Never seen this before, but someone explained in our Gemara, they bring for the Sefer Aryasher, that for Rav Chanina to eat something, remember, don't forget, not only is us, this is a very fine line. These chalevs, if they're mutter, they're mutter. If they're aser, it's karas. Mm-hmm. It's like very, very, very definitive extremes, right? I mean, so different. There's a lot of cases of karas where tashmish one night is a mitzvah, the next night is chiv karas, right? It's not the only case. You find that. But the point is, maybe it's dafka here, but for chanita to eat something and someone else holds you chayv karas, I'm just embellishing a little bit. That's not what they say. But they seem to be very yashir is for him to eat in front of someone's aser, that we don't do. Okay. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, B'nei Ma'ay Shidik for V'lechos Ha'is Mekshira, the intestines, that behold, which we spoke on the Mishnah, that is one of the things that would make it a treifa. So, says the Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa, if the liquids in the lecha, in the stomach, fill it up, it's okay. That's a good seal. My lecha, what lecha are we talking about? I'm kind of specific lecha. Shirka D'maya D'nafik Agav Deicha. It's only the fluid of the intestines. It's actually a sticky fluid. It's a thicker fluid that only comes out when you squeeze it. So it's otherwise it stays in its place. So that type of liquid fluid only comes out from its place when you squeeze it. If that goes into a hole, that will properly seal the hole, and therefore it will not be a tray. It will solve the tray issue. Gemiri chavraya derab Abba merab Abba. The friend of Reb Abba learned chavraya. Normally means like the chavra, but over here it means specifically a friend. We'll see the Gemara. Of Reb Abba learned from Abba. Umanu, who is his friend? Reb Zera is Reb Zera. V'amil chavraya Reb Zera. Some say no, it was Reb Zera's chavraya from Reb Zera. Who learned from Zera? Manu Reb Abba. Okay, so the shaloh falls. Reb Abba learning from Reb Zera. Reb Zera learning from Reb Abba. Okay. Amar Abba Breid Reb Chiyah Bar Abba Ahachi Amar Reb Chiyah Bar Abba Mar Beichan. This was said by Reb Chiyah Bar Abba Mar Beichan on the following halacha. Halacha b'shigol meal b'treifa, halacha b'shigol meal b'evil. Halacha b'shigol meal b'treifa and by evil. The Gemara is going to elaborate on both these things. Halacha b'shigol meal b'treifa called Adamarn. Halacha b'shigol meal b'treifa is, sorry, that's what we just spoke a moment ago about the stickiness in the goo in the stomach sealing the hole in the intestine. Even the hole in the intestine would be a treifa. If the goo in the stomach seals it, that would be not a treifa. So that halacha that it's not a treifa is like Rav Shigol Meal, the Kula, that it works to seal it. What's that lacha by Avelos? Ma'i? The first years of Avelos. Let's say Nebuch, one of the seven closest relatives of a person, is Nifter. And they're not in the city where the rest of the family is sitting, Shiva, where it's all taking place. So, if they arrive, this other family member arrives within the first 3 days, so lacha is as follows. There's two criteria. It has to be within the first 3 days, number one. And number two, Bamakam Karav, if you came from a place that's close, which means less than a 24-hour travel, which I wonder if that actually, it's a day's journey. These days, it can be much further. If it's just travel of a day, unless it means travel by foot of a day. Travel of a day used to be 20 miles, whatever it may be, with the horse, but wherever you're traveling. These days, it could be 1,000 miles. It could be, right? It could be other side of the world, practically. But okay, if you come from a Makam Karav, mighty mom. So you didn't come the first day. He came, as long as he came within the first 3 days, and the distance that he was till that was less than a day's travel away, he gets to join in with them. So if they're up to day three, he starts with them, whenever he gets there, and all he does do is count 4, 5, 6, and 7. He doesn't have to count 7 days, sit for 7 days of Velos. However, if he comes from a far place, even if he came within the first 3 days, you have to count for himself. So you need both criteria. You need to come within the first 3 days, and you need to come from a close place. Flip side, if he came after 3 days, even if he came from a close place, he has to count for himself 7 days. Meaning, unless he has both criteria, again, of coming within 3 days and coming from a close place, he would have to count for himself. If he meets both criteria, he can just join into them, and wherever they're up to, he continues. And I actually saw the story recently by a relative, actually, my father-in-law and his brother, they went there to Israel. Their father, I mean, they were there. My father actually wasn't even there. The uncle, his brother, was there, sat Shiva for like an hour on Erev Shabbos. The Nefteris was lifted on Erev Shabbos, sat Shiva on Erev Shabbos, and then flew there to Shalom Matzah Shabbos, came back after, even though there was a question if he really started the Shiva, because he was being Isaac, the Nefteris was buried in Erev Shabbos. So he's being Isaac, really, Pashas Erev Neva'inen, came back after the Levayan Eretz Yisrael, maybe even singing Shiva Eretz Yisrael for one day, came back, sat Shiva for the rest with his father, Mark's grandfather, and because the Reish HaBayis got up Thursday morning, they all got up Thursday morning, even though some of them joined only in the middle. Over there, actually, I mean, it depends. If you don't count Friday, it looks like they actually joined on day four. Let's see. Reb Shimon Aymer, Afilu B'yam HaShvi, B'amak B'kar Av Mani Imam. Reb Shimon argues the Kula and says, even if someone came from a close place, 24 hours travel, up to the seventh day of Shiva, he could join into the family yeshiva, and he gets up. So that fits very well with what we just, which is the Maisa Shoya that we just pointed out, that they joined in, they came in, they came back on Monday or Tuesday, sat for 3 days with their father, and they all got up together on Thursday morning. Okay. Amar Manduhu, there was a fellow who, we're not sure, nameless, but not sure who he was, the name, who said the following ruling. Iski Vesavakam on the Shrite of tomorrow. I should be Zeicha to go up to Yisrael and hear the Psak from the mouth of Rav Abba, the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who said it from Rav Yechanan, right? The name of Rav Chiya. I should hear from this Rav Abba, the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, directly. Kisalik, when this fellow, no name, got up, Teretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rav Abba Beir Yechiba, he found Rav Beir Yechiba Abba, Amar Lei, Mar, Halakha B'Shem and Megamil, Amar Lei, Amar Mar, Halakha B'Shem and Megamil, this is a very scary concept in transmission, he said to him, did you indeed say Halakha B'Shem and Megamil by Trefa, meaning that the goo in the stomach seals the whole intestine and it's kosher, it's not a Trefa? So he said, Amar Lei, Ein Halakha Amri, I said exactly opposite. I said the Halakha is not like Rav Shimon, meaning it doesn't work to solve the Trefa issue. Okay, Rav Shimon Me'evil Mai. What about Rav Shimon Me'evil? So now you didn't ask him, did you say this? Now you just ask him, what do you hold? Rav Shimon Me'evil, well, because obviously the report that he got was not clear. So what do you hold over there? Amalei. So again, Rabbi, the son of Rabbi says, plucked in him, Saka Machlekes. The Hitmar of Chizda Melacha, the Chizda Melacha is like Rav Shimon Lekula. The Chizda Melacha is like Rav Shimon Lekula. Rav Nachman Amein Lekula, Rav Nachman Lekula is not like Rav Shimon Lekula. Vein Lekula Rav Shimon Gamil B'Shefa, V'Alach Rav Shimon Be'evil, says the Gemara now, Psak, we talk it, don't go to kulak b'shugal meal by treifa, meaning we don't say the goo in the stomach is a good mechanism to seal up the hole in the intestines, and it would still be a treifa. However, we do say the kulak of shimon by evil, that the halachos of shimon, that if a person shows up on day 7, as long as it was within a day's travel, he can join into whatever shiva, le'alenu, shouldn't be negeah, but he can join into whatever shiva that was taking place and just get up with them. Why are we passing the kula by evil? This is a big cloud. Halacha, this definitely could be our halacha for the day. Halacha divrei mekel by evil. Halacha is like the mekel by evil. One of the people in our share just got up from a shiva from his wife. We all know that. So he was reading a lot on the morning share. Jeffrey Erlich. So you know about it. Huh? Next time you see him. So he's reading the sefer morning halacha. It's an English sefer on morning, obviously. It goes through a lot of different Menhagim and concepts, and Avelos is littered with Menhagim. There's definitely halacha components about Menhagim, but he said the most common refrain he's found, and he's, I'm sure at this point, read it almost cover to cover, he's very diligent, is at the end of the day, in the notes say, you could do what you want. Meaning, from amongst the options given, from amongst the sheet is given, the common refrain in the Sefer seems to be, he saw many times, ultimately, he spoke out a few scenarios. These different choices. Ultimately, what do you do? If you have a minig, fine. You do the minig, of course. If not, you do what you want. I think it would fit very well with this idea because you go, I think that would be considered a version of halacha divrei mekel. Okay. Amar Rav Simcha Rechia. Makifim b'vnei ma'ayim. You can make comparisons with the b'nei ma'ayim. That means in the stomach. Now, comparisons mean like this. It means that, the age-old question. Let's say we see this a mum, but we're not sure if it developed a post-mortem. Or it's anti-mortem, right? That's the way you say it? Pre-mortem?
Yeah, I guess
it's anti-mortem. Post-mortem, anti-mortem. Not sure if it happened before or after the animal died. So if it happened after the animal died, obviously the animal's kosher. If it happened before the animal died, the animal's not kosher. So what would you do? Make that same mum in the animal now the animal's already dead, and then compare it. And if it resembles, then you know it happened after it died, right? As opposed to the appearance of the mum before it died. Now, of course, we said before, it only works in certain scenarios because sometimes there's no distinction. Okay, so says Rav Simcha Rechia, we actually before you don't make makifim because it's difficult now. Often you can't make good investigations with it. But Rav Simcha Rechia is saying that in the stomach you are able to make comparisons in the intestines to determine when the puncture took place. There was indeed a story of intestines that had a puncture. It came from the Rav Psaka Kfinu. So they made a new puncture in intestines similar to it and it didn't compare, right? It didn't compare the first puncture to the second punctures. So what are they going to say now? Must be, it happened pre-shchita, and it's trefa. So Misharashia, Rava's son, if it sounds familiar in the Sefta, because it is, we had something very similar this earlier, Misharashia came to the rescue, on a Shaila, so, and he's going to say the same shrach, if you remember. So Misharashia came and said, he came, and he didn't just say anything. He rubbed the spot where the new hole was made. And after rubbing it for a little bit, you know what? It very much resembled the original hole that they weren't sure about. So what do you see? You see that it really did. It really was a hole that took place after Shechita. Amar Le Menala Charav said, "How do you realize? How do you chap to do that?" Amar Le says, "Logical. How many hands touched this piece of intestine until it got to you, Rava, for a psak? Tata, not Rava, he called it Tata, his father. Until it got to you for a psak, how many hands touched it? Went through many hands. So you have to compare apples to apples. You can't just puncture a new hole and assume it's going to look the same as another piece that had a lot of, that was handled a lot. So I handled it. And once I handled it, you see, it turns out the same. And if we have to pass the kula, Amar Leis, Rava said, Chakim Beri Betrefus, Kerb Yechanan. My son is a Chakim Betrefus, like Reb Yechanan. Again, we remember we had this back not so long ago. I mean, to be exact, it was about 3 weeks ago on the Daf Chav Ches. And over there we spoke out, there was two understanding of this episode picking Reb Yechanan. Either it means, in general, Reb Yechanan was a Bucky in Kol Taira, so he's saying that my son is a Bucky in Treifus, like Reb Yechanan is a Bucky in Kol Taira. Or, we spoke, I remember, what did we say? Shmuel sent to Reb Yechanan 13 camel loads of Shailas. We spoke at that, if you remember, on Daf Chav Ches. So, here, same idea. So he was saying, specifically in Treifus, Reb Yechanan is an expert. So Rav said, my son Rasharsha is taking after Rabbi Yechon. Okay. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Tavayo, Makiv and Breya, they say you can make comparisons in the lung as well. So if you're not sure when the puncture took place, make a new puncture and match it up. Amar Rav Lemar, El Bais Aruga, only on the same patch, meaning the same row, I should say. Aruga normally in the field means patches. The same row of lobes. We know we said we had the upper row and the lower row of lobes. So it's got to be, you got to compare row to row. Amaruga Aruga, once you start comparing from row to another row, it's not effective because the colors are ready to compare, the appearance can be different. Fe'elchaza, Rav was being machmer, the maestro alach is more than mekel. Afim Aruga Aruga, you can make a comparison even from one lobe to another lobe, one row to another row, I should say, from a lobe to lobe. But even in the Hilchasa qualification, being mekel on Rava, it still says it's got to be a small lobe to a small lobe and a larger to a larger lobe. You can't compare bigger and smaller lobes to each other. That is the simple taich of the Hilchasa. That's the simple taich. Rashi brings, and there's another side that when we say daka gasa, we don't mean the bigger and larger lobe. We mean in a behema daka and a behema gasa. Rashi doesn't like that shot, so let's stick with what Rashi ultimately sticks with the first draw. That means the larger and smaller lobe in the same animal. When you want to compare a hole in the trachea, to know again, the comparison purposes are not the size, you know, the lachas, you know. You want to compare it to see if it took place before after Shechita, you could make a comparison with a new hole in the trachea. All near the same band. Now, just to remind ourselves, you can look at the picture here. Trachea had these circular bands, right? Now, just the top of it is called the regular cholias, the circles. At the bottom, where it comes to like a little bit of a more of a point, right? On the bottom of it comes to like a more like there's like a wider point sticking out. That's called the bar cholia. The top is the cholia. The bar cholia. So we're saying if there's a hole in it, you can make a comparison with another hole. A cholia, by the way, actually consists of three tubes, three sections, not just one. It's a chain of three sections. Okay. Says the Gemara, you can only make a new hole in the same section of chulia, the same three rings. I'm a chulia, comparing from one chulia to another chulia. That you can't do, so it probably machmer. And again, the hilchasa comes you make, you can make a comparison from one chulia section to another chulia section, or one bar chulia section to another bar chulia section, but not from the bottom to the top, or top to the bottom, that you can make a comparison that you can't do. Amar Ziri. Chalchelos, Shenikva Ksheira. Chalchelos was actually, remember we started off the share today, we spoke out on the bottom of the Testament base, we spoke out that Rav Nachman, I think it was talking about some fat, the helmet-like fat that was covering the carcassia. And we explained the carcassia was the end of the intestine area, which we called in English the rectum. And we said the fat over there covering the hole is not a good fat, even though it's kosher, because it's not here. Now, if you look in Rashi over there, Rashi explained the carcassia is the chalchelos. That's the word I'm right now. Chachelos. Chachelos, again, would be the rectum. Amrazi, Chachelos, Nikfak Shera, the rectum that was punctured is still kosher. It's kosher because the hips, the little Lashon Amida means normally it supports it. Over here means it encloses it. That's the point. It encloses it, it covers it up. Vekama, how much into this rectum is included in this leniency. Amar Rabbi Yechon, Makam Adavik Berubai. The place where it's connected to the hips, that section, the majority of where it connects to the hips, that area, that's how far it goes. More than that, not. Shlei Makam Adavik Mashu. But, so let me say that better. Makam Adavik Berubai, in a place where it's connected to the hips, Rav of it can have a hole. Up to Rav can have a hole, and it's still considered protected. Once that's a hole, but Rav, that's already too much. Even the hips won't protect that, and it'll be a treifa. If it's not by the place where it connects to the hips, then a mashu. Then it gets back to the regular like din of the intestines, and even a mashu punctures enough to make it a treifa. They said the Rabbanan said this psak of Rabbi Yechon in front of Rava in the name of Rav Nachman. Amar Rava said to them, "Lav mi'aminu l'chu heaven." I told you that this prop we find elsewhere in Shas. Le'titlu bei, I think it's actually said on Rav Nachman. Interesting enough, le'titlu bei, don't be titled in Rav Nachman. Buki sriki. What are the top of num beis? Buki sriki are top Rashi kadam reikim, empty pitchers, meaning empty svaras. Meaning hachi. It's not what he said. Rav Nachman never said that. Hachi Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Nachman said. The place he's more makel. The place where the chalcholos, the rectum, connects to the hips. Even if it was entirely gone, it's still kosher. As long as there's a tfisa, enough a spot where you can grab. The kama, how big is the tfisa? Enough to enough of the width of a finger, which is. Even b'tayra, even by an ox, meaning such a small section, even by an ox enough. So we say tfisa, we mean even taking, let's say, the way I understand it is, let's say your thumb, we had earlier discussed this, your thumb and your index finger, just like that, just one finger's width, as long as you can grab that amount, if you have that amount of the rectum left over, and the rest is missing in the hippie area, still kosher. Even if it's berubay missing, still kosher. More makel than what we said on an olive, where Menachem's memory was, because as long as you have that much left, the rest is in case of the hips, and I guess the rectum will still do its job. Okay, hakeres hapanimi. We said in the Mishnah that the keres hapanimi, if it was punctured, the keres hapanimi at any puncture, or the keres achitza in the outer punch, if a roiv of it's punctured, it's treifa. But in the Mishnah, we said the inner punch, even if it has any puncture, it's treifa. The Gemara now is going to spend the next 12, 13, 14 lines going through a few different versions of what does the keres hapanimi mean. Very interesting, many different opinions. Let's see. Amar Bidam Rav. The head of the butchers of Tzipori, he testified the name of Rabbi Meshim Rav Nassan, testified in front of Rabbi the name of Rav Nassan. What's keres apnimi? Sanya divi. Sanya divi is the keres apnimi. In English, they teach this as the I hope I'm pronouncing it right, as the sisum. Rashi brings actually two possible words for this. The first one he brings is the karshatya. The second one he brings is actually the pansa. The pansa, they say, is like the pancreas. It's a part of the pancreas. The karshatya, again, is in English, they teach it as the blind pouch. The baud de sacliere is French. The blind pouch, yeah, I was right. The blind pouch, that's what they call it. Now, it's interesting, because Rabbi Kanner ran away when he heard these words this morning. You remember, he said, that's the appendix. It's interesting that they say, on the contrary, an animal doesn't really have an appendix. The appendix in a human does attach to this same aver. Bekaner is right. Sanya divi in a human is the appendix connects to that to the cecum. It connects in near this intestine area. It does connect to it. So in a human, it could be a reference to the appendix. So he was correct about that, but they specifically point out that it's a common mistake because it's by humans. People like to take the animals the same way. The animals do not have appendix. Mm-hmm. Animals do not have appendix, and therefore it means something different. It means the actual, this coil, it's part of this attached to the coil of the intestine. It's called the cecum, we'll call it, in English. Okay, inner pouch. We'll call it the blind pouch. V'chein amar, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Sanya Divi, it's the blind pouch, the inner pouch, the keres apnimi is the blind pouch. Rabbi Shimon ben Shmuel Amr is Temcha de Kresa, he says it's the stomach of the paunch. Rashi is not clear exactly what this is. Again, it's a certain part in the stomach that's in the inside, obviously, and not sure how he's arguing the first shita. It's another area around the intestines. Okay. So we're saying over there, a puncture, any puncture only makes a treifa, as opposed to the outer keres, which needs to be cut right. Rav Asiyam Rabbi Yechanan, Makam Tsar Yesh Bekeres V'nei Dei Ezu. There's a narrow section in the keres, and I'm not sure which narrow section it is, but there's narrow sections, and one of the narrow sections, that's the keres apnimi. Amar Nachman Yitzchak, Nafa Kresa Bevira. So Nachman Yitzchak said, the whole din of Kresa fell into a pit, meaning, if you don't know where it is, and you're giving these vague descriptions, then we've lost halacha. So we gave an explanation from the Meitzer Alamata, from where it gets narrow And below from there is called the keras apnimi, and that's where any tiny puncture would make it a trefa. And by the way, when we say lamata, it means it's funny which direction you're going in. It starts to get more narrow as it gets closer to the esophagus. So you think, when you say panimi, you always think like further away because the way it's traveling, right? But it means the other way. It means closer to the esophagus. Rav Yaakov bar Nachman, that could be also. Rashi says that. Yeah, your point. Exactly. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says like Daniel. We're talking about we're holding upside down. That's why, right, when it says, right, that's right, Lamata. Lamata, very good. Lamata sounds like lower down. Lower down would mean further away from the esophagus. The answer is the animal's hanging upside down, and therefore the lower down is close to the esophagus. Thank you, Daniel. Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel, Makam She'ein Bo Milas. He says the keres apnimi is a place where it doesn't have melas. Melas is like a woolly type of texture on the lining. It doesn't have that woolly texture. Remember we spoke the other day also when there's here at the end of the, I think it was the veshet or the esophagus, one of the two, it starts to go here inside. This place where it doesn't have the woolly feel, that's where the keres apnimi is. Rabbi Avina, Amar Gneva Mishmei Derav Tefach Beveshet Samach Karis Zui Keres Apnimis. So Ravina, in said name of Gvina, name of Rav, the Tefach of the Veshet Samach to the Keres. We had something similar before also. It sounds like the last Tefach of Veshet near the Keres. That's Keres Apnimis, which is Bechidish, right? The Gemara actually earlier, if I remember correctly, the Gemara had an issue with this. The Gemara earlier.
That's what we said before. Had hair. It extended into that last Tefach from the stomach.
Correct. Correct. And ultimately, the Gemara ultimately, remember, and we're calling this the inner pouch, the inner keres, which is massive chiddush. The last tefach of the esophagus is the inner keres. If anything, it'd be the outer keres. So that's what we had back then in Memdal, Bitaka said, it means the last tefach is outer, and from the end of the esophagus and going inward, that would already be the inner keres. That's how we ultimately came out, I believe, on Memdal, Memdal. Okay. Zot Gemara, Amri, B'merava, Mishmei, Dervesi, Bachanina, Kol Ka'keres, Kulei, Zuhi, Keres, Apnimis. The entire Keres is the Keres, Apnimis. Vesi, Keres, Achitzen, then what's the Keres, Achitzen? Basar, Chavis, Revi, Keres. The meat, the flesh that covers the Keres, that's the Keres, Achitzen. But whatever you're considering Keres is all Apnimi. Whatever is the flesh around it, the outer flesh, that's called Keres, Achitzen. So Keres, Achitzen, the flesh has to be cut in Reif, to be Treifa. The Keres itself, any puncture makes it Keres, Apnimi, is the Keres itself, and any puncture makes it Treifa. Another tight, so if you keep the score, which I'm not, it must be around 7 or 8 already. Rabbi Avuna Amar Mifrata. My Mifrata, very nice. It's Mifrata, what's Mifrata? Rabbi Ivya, Hecha de Pari Tabachi. Mifrata is Lashon of de Pari, where the butchers expose it, where they slice it open. Meaning, when the butchers split the belly in half, they're talking about the animal that's hanging already, when they split it in half to dissect it, to open, take out the stomach, so the spot where they cut from, that's where the Keres Apnimi is, right exactly that spot. So in Ardoi they did, like Rabbi Avuna, which was his most recent pshat, the last pshat, which is the place where the butchers cut from, which is apparently a commonly known place. Where I was bothered, it's very nice, didn't know the Keres Apnimi is that spot. But we had, again, I'm throwing out a random number, 7 other opinions, and wherever the Keres Apnimi is, a small puncture makes it a trefa. If it's Keres Achitzen, it needs to be kaparev. So by defining this is Keres Apnimi, as opposed to the other many options, it's a massive cooler, presumably. There must be some basis why we're picking that pshat. What do you do with all these other shmaitas? You just, the Nadayas just ignore it? It says the Gemara, they actually point out, Rashi points out that Rav Ashi es tam Meimar, because that Meimar was from Nardai. So he's saying, you Nardaians, you people from Nardai, you're being naive this way, what's your logic? So Meimar answered back, Amarle kulu sheichin b'drab Avuna. Very interesting. All the Malchum given, every pshat, the place that Avuna said, which is where the butcher cuts from, is a central place, and it actually touches every one of those spots. So since it's the most central, it made sense to pick, if you can pick one, to pick that one. In fact, what about the Ravasi and the Mirbechanan, who said that it's unidentified, it's a narrow section, which I don't know where it is. What do you do with that pshat? Amalek, Rav Pirush, Rav Achabravia. Rav Achabravia explained it, where it starts to get narrow, he spoke out. With Ravina, Rav Mai, what about Ravina's Mahalach, who says the last tefach of the esophagus? Or the Meimar Rava, who said that it's the entire keres? How does that fit with Nadayas? You tell me, it fit, you said you want to make it fit by saying, since it's the middle, it really fits with them all. But it doesn't. Amalek, Hani Vadiplik. He said, you're right. Those attack are arguing, and Lamaisu Venayag, like this Mahalach, which I guess was the most central, but you're right, indeed, those attack are arguing, you can't make that shtim. Rabbi Yudam Rabbi Deila Rida said that in a large animal, it's a tefach. In a small animal, it's the shear of the roiv of the outer keres. So again, the trephus in the keres, we said in a large animal, a tefach is enough to make it a chafe. You don't need breif. So even if the outer pouch is much bigger than let's say it's three tefachim, one tefach is enough to make a chafe. And a smaller animal, then taka, a rave is enough. Let's just see a few more lines. Amar Bielman, Baran Yafis, Amar Blazer, like Dele Gilel Mamish, like Dele Gilel Mamish. When he says big, it doesn't mean big animal. I'm supposed to be a small animal. El Kosha Nikr, but tefach, Lev, Ruba, Zu, Hishishinim, Bidele Tefach. Ruba, Lev, Tefach, Zu, Hishinim, Bidele Ruba. Very interesting. That he's qualifying Ravid to say, Ravid just meant was, it's either or. He meant to say, don't start judging which animal is big, which animal is small. It doesn't matter. If you have a tefach tier, trefa, in the outer keres. If you have less than a tefach tier, but you have rife, also trefa. That's it. And you don't even have to be busy figuring out if it's from the small or big category. Says the Gemara, ruba of leva tefach pshita. Gemara, 1 second. If it's rife without tefach, you don't need.
If it's what?
Rife of the outer pouch torn without having a tefach, that was the base kalacha. That wasn't even Rav Yudas Chiddush. Talakama said, if rave of the outer keres is torn, it's a treifa. Rav Yudas came along and said that if you have a tefach by a gedela or a rave by a katana, and they came along with Rabbi Yefes and they were blessed and explained, gedela's not mamish, it's, and katana's not mamish. If you have either rave or a tefach, then it's enough. The Marsh is bothered that in a case where you have a tefach, it's pasha. It's pashut. What would Rabbi Yehuda be adding in that case? That's the Tanakam held. The case is where it was a tefach. It's a tefach meaning the keres achitza would be a tefach. It's just missing a mashu. And therefore what? I would have thought that since this keres has a shear of a tefach, or since it's so close to being a tefach, maybe you have to get the full tefach in order to make it a trefa, kamash milan, we don't say that. Amar gneva marvasi, niktura kesela trefa, if you have the whole size of a sela in the outer pouch, it's a trefa. Why? Because maybe if it was stretched into a straight line, it would be a tefach. So niktura is not a slice, which we said a slice in rav is enough to make a trefa or a tefach, it's a circular hole. So if you straighten out that hole, maybe that hole, as a line, would be the share of a tefach. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, l'dim farsh l'mnei, de gneva, amar bra, de nardai. It was explained to me by Gneva, that who was at the river crossing of Nardai, kesela k'shera yaser, mekesela trefa. If the hole is the size of a sela, it's kasher. If it's more than a sela, it's treif. Meaning, when you said sela, didn't mean sela. Sela, more than a sela is treif, a sela itself is still kosher. The kam yesu and kesela, what is more than a sela? On my basis of going to island plus kaishasa, you could put 3 date pits through that hole, that's bigger than a sela. Betzipet, betchuka, when they're coated with like a little bit of fruit on it still. Betzipet, when it has a little fruit in it, betchuka, you could put it through tightly. But light tzipa bravcha, or these 3 same date pits, if they're mamish clean, if you sucked up all the fruit off it and they're clean, then it's funny because dates are also different. I would assume dates are different sizes and therefore the pits of the dates are different sizes, okay? But light tzipa bravcha, if they have no fruit residue on it, then it has to be able to pass through easily. That would be a sign that it's the size of a sela, and therefore a sela, or yes from a sela, I should say, and yes from a sela is enough to make a treif. A sela itself, we're saying it's not enough to make a treif. Just quick halacha of the day. I know we said some other ones already, but just one another shayla that came up was a big topic of discussion, and I think in the 80s. They used to, maybe came up for a different reason then, but they used to often, when the stomachs of the cows were bloated, they would make a hole in the stomach and the intestines to relieve some of the gas and some of the pain the cows have. According to our sugya, that would essentially render it a trefa. And then the bigger issue is, forget about eating those cows, which have this done to them. The bigger issue would be milk. Very good. Exactly. The milk of those cows. It was a big topic of, I mean, it was two different topics. The topic, I think, that came in the 80s, I may be confusing it, was they used to feed the animal something which would also make it also have a status of a trefa. Similar idea. But this shallah came up much, much earlier.
But they're different than
yours. Ah, very good. So the Tshuvas Yali Yehuda says that the Maisa has this, and this really gets back to the Rashba that we had the other day, where Ephraim was busy with it the night, that is it a treifa, but if it can live, that's not a symbol, it's not a treifa. Let's leave it aside for now. So the Yud Yalev says that the animal that had the procedure done right now in this moment is a definite treifa. Has a din of a treifa. And he's being more machmer even the Binas Adam and the Chashuchim, which we'll get to in a second, hold its at best a suffix treifa, but he also say vade treifa, and therefore it's usher to buy the milk. It's usher to even use that milk and sell it to a goy on the chash. He may go sell it to a yid. The Aruch HaShulchan says no. He says, like the Binas Adam, that no, that's only a Suffolk treifa, and therefore, for 12 months, to your point, afterwards, it's not going to be usher on Suffolk. If it lives, if you freeze the milk and you see it live for 12 months, then after 12 months, you can use the milk or even the old milk, you can still use it after 12 months because it shows that it demonstrates that it wasn't a treifa. Now, the Judas Marsham also was Mekel, and he said that at best it's only a Suffolk treifa, it's not a Vada treifa, and therefore he wants to say that if a person buys milk from a general Geisha farm, where there's a chash that he must have done this procedure to some of the animals, but Alpi Rav, it didn't happen to most of the animals, he wants to be Mekel and say, since Alpi Rav, it didn't happen, and anyway, it's not a Vada, it's a Suffolk, then therefore you can be Mekel. Furthermore, because it's a Shal Bechlal, if these are only us on a Dereisa level, on a Rabban level, or even on a derisive level, meaning it could be that this mound is really only a rabbinic issue, not a biblical issue, coupled with the fact that it's a suffix if it happened, coupled with the fact that it may not be a treifa because it lived 12 months, and therefore he's mekel. If you already post facto bought from the guy, you can be mekel, but you shouldn't lechayr by l'chila because it is a concern, and preferably you should wait till at least 12 months to see that the animal is not a treifa.